Seeking the Lord's help for a little time this morning, we'll turn to the portion of his word which we read together in the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Philippians, and chapter 3, and we'll read again at verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself, especially the words, for our conversation is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. Now at the beginning of that chapter, chapter 3, there is a structural division, as Paul writes, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. But towards the end of the chapter, there is a more solemn division for each one of us. For there, Paul draws a distinction between those who are sound believers and those who are not. As he writes there in verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He speaks now of them even weeping, the enemies of the cross of Christ. And then the apostle says, for, or the equivalent to that is, but our conversation is in heaven. And that makes a distinction, that makes a division between the people of God, that is the citizens of heaven, and the worldly community that he refers to earlier, and of whom he says, whose end is destruction. So before us, the apostle, he speaks, or he refers to two great communities, one governed by Caesar and worldly laws, the other by God and the laws of heaven. But not only the place, but the people also have a different disposition. For the one is under the power and the wisdom of the flesh, the other is under grace. Now, if we were wise, every one of us, we should be with the godly wise, whose eye is upwards, looking and waiting for the coming of our blessed Saviour and for the glorious resurrection body that we read of there in verse 21. And not with the worldly wise, who mind earthly things, we are told there, but whose end is destruction. But this teaches us that the relationship between this present and the future, the relationship between the now and what is to come, stamps an awfulness on each one of us. In other words, teaching us the importance of our existence, the importance of our existence at this time. Comparatively speaking, if I can put it like this, it is of little importance what is to become of us or where we shall be residing for the few brief years that we are in this place. The most solemn question is, where shall we reside forever and ever? In other words, where shall we spend eternity? Oh, eternity, eternity, where shall I spend eternity? That is the question. And that stamps very great importance upon the here and now for every one of us. What shall become of us when the trumpet sounds and all the dead, both small and great, shall stand before God and receive the things done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be evil? What then? this time of the year in the winter, and very soon, as we know, the seasons will change and people will go out, at least in parts of our own land, they'll go out to sow the seed. And a few months later on, when the harvest comes, they will go out and reap the harvest. Now, no one would go out in spring and sow and then go out at harvest time and expect to gather a different crop from what he had sown in the spring. But that is how it is also in spiritual things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And yet that is what many are doing. Multitudes never give this matter one moment's thought. Many consider it with indifference, others with uncertainty. But the believer, he gives diligence and earnestness to make his calling and election sure. And that is the contrast. He knows the contrast between the unbeliever and the believer. He is conscious of that. The blessedness of that condition. For he says, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change your vile body, and the body of our humiliation, our lowly body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now there are these two verses suggest to us three things. It suggests to us a heavenly citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. It tells us of a heavenly look. And it, for looking, from whence we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us of a heavenly, glorious body. We shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now I think that there will be time only for one of these, and for a little today I want to consider with you the very first of them. Our conversation is in heaven. Now the word, the term that is translated there as conversation, may be used in two different ways. Sometimes it means a certain standing, and so it refers to citizenship. Other times it refers to a particular conduct, that a lifestyle or behavior, and that is how it is put into the Gaelic translation, Har Cae Behenye Et Nef. Har Cae Behenye Et Nef. That is how it is put in the Gaelic. But there is no reason to disunite these two terms, because one explains the other. One is complementary to the other. So firstly then, our heavenly citizenship. Well, that tells us that the Christian standing now at present is connected with another and a nobler world. That it belongs to a better country, that it belongs even to a heavenly, to a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now in Paul's day, men boasted and thought it was the highest honor of being citizens of Rome. You remember when the centurion in Acts, if I remember rightly, chapter 22, you remember when the centurion heard that Paul was a Roman citizen. And as they were about to ill-treat him, he went to the chief captain, and he said to him, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." And the chief captain revealed then how, with a great sum, he had obtained that privilege. But Paul the apostle said, "But I was born free." Now, no one is free born into the heavenly city, not even the apostle Paul. They have been bought with a great price, not silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. And so the apostle reminds these Philippian Christians, who are so conscious also of being citizens of Rome, even although they're far away from it, he reminds them that they belong to a far greater country. It is heaven. In heaven they have their citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, by nature, that was not the case. We were aliens and strangers from the Commonwealth. But by the grace and the mercy of God, we were translated out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, to be no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Now, what a privilege to belong to a state of which it is said that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, yet hath it entered into the heart of man, that God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, whether that particular text refers to heaven or not, that certainly applies to heaven. It certainly applies to heaven. It is true of heaven. Now, being citizens of heaven means at least that we have Christ as our King. The King of heaven reigns in our hearts. The laws of paradise are our laws and our regulations. Our daily concern and prayer is that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It also means that we share the honors of heaven. The glory that belongs to the saint in heaven also belongs to us. For already we are the sons of God. We are. Already we wear the spotless robe of Christ's righteousness. Already God is our Father and Christ is our brother. Also, there is this as well, that we have a right to the property of heaven. That is, we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So ours is the crown of glory. Ours is the crown of everlasting life. Ours is the river of the water of life. Ours is the fruit that grows on the trees that are planted by its side. In fact, there is nothing in heaven that does not belong to us. For we are citizens. Our citizenship is there. And the apostle, writing to the Corinthians, said, "Things present and things to come, all are yours, and we are Christ, and Christ is God's." Now, such were the privileges of heaven that Jesus himself reminded his own disciples to prefer to have their names written in that register, in the register of heaven, than all the privileges that they had and all the power that they enjoyed in being able to work miracles. He told them the preference. "Notwithstanding in this," he said to them, "rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." That is what they were rejoicing. So there was a state of citizenship. Now, for a little, I want to look at it from the other side, on what is brought before us as far as our heavenly conduct is concerned. Kaibehe, our walk, our lifestyle. Now, if a person is a Christian and connected to such a country, then surely a certain kind of conduct or a particular lifestyle, a suitable way of living, becomes him, does it not? Now, a citizen of Rome could live in another place, even in a distinct province from Rome, a distant place. For example, like the Philippians themselves, yet he was still a citizen of Rome. And Paul claimed that himself. But so also the citizen of heaven. They reside on this earth for a brief season. And yet, although he is in the world, we have to remember he is not of the world. He is not of it. This is not his country. This is not his home. This is not his rest. And yet, although he is in the world, as I said, he is not of it. And even if for certain reasons, known only to God himself, they are detained here for some time, yet his principles, his habits, his speech should reveal that he belongs to a different people, that he is a citizen of glory, that he is from above, that he is from heaven. Now, the citizens of this world expect the believer to fall in with their own ways, as others do, and to go with the tide, or move with the multitude and the crowd, walk as they walk. But the believer says, no, I will not fall in with your ways. I will not fall in with your customs. I will not fall in with your behavior. I may be in Rome, but I shall not do as the Romans do. We all heard the words, when you are in Rome, do as the Romans do. But believer, even although he's here, do not as the Romans do. I will not behave like you, I will not walk like you. Now, it is a very sad state when the world applauds. When the world applauds, claps their hands and says, well done to a Christian. A very sad state when the world says that to a Christian. He may well look to his standing. He may well question himself, what has he done wrong? When the ungodly and the unrighteous and the worldly show their appreciation. An ancient philosopher of long ago, what have I done wrong, he said, when a villain applauded him. What have I done wrong? The Apostle James wrote, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. No Christian should live so that there is no comparison, no companionship between them and the world. In fact, it should be a contrast, not a comparison. A believer should be a clear contradiction of the unbeliever. It should be as wide apart as light and darkness, as purity and sin, as life, even as life and death. What has one to do with the other? What does Christ to do with Belial? Now, if we were what we profess to be, there should be no great difficulty in recognizing the Christian person from the world. No great difficulty. Any more than detecting a sheep from a goat, or a lamb from a wolf. You remember in the book of Acts that we read they had no difficulty in recognizing Christians in Antioch. Now there were Greeks there, there were Jews there, and there were heathen there, there were Greeks there, different kinds. But the people there were forced, because they couldn't call them Jews, they couldn't call them Hebrews, the Greeks, they couldn't call them. They had to find a name for them. And they had no problem in noticing the difference that was between them and others. And they called them Christians, Christ's men, for the first time in Antioch. Now, the thing is this, that as there shall be at last a great gulf between the godly and the ungodly, so there should be even here also. Because although his body is here, and his business may be here, yet his treasure is not here. His treasure is above. His inheritance is above. His affections are above. His portion is above. The Lord is my portion. And as above they are holy, so are we. For our citizenship is there. As above they are obedient, so down here we must be also, doing the will of our Heavenly Father. As above they are active, so should we be. Therefore we should always be praising God, serving God. As above they are happy, so should we be, rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, were I together, I say rejoice. As above they are full of love, so should we be. We should love one another. As above they have fellowship one with another, so should we, who are members of the same body. Members of the same body. Living in such a way that others take note of us, as they did of the disciples of old, that they had been with Jesus. And that we indeed are heavenly citizens, who are with them and among them, but not of them. Not of them. What a difference it would say, it would be make today, if the world would say of us, thy speech betrayeth thee. For only a Christian speaks like that. Only a Christian acts like that. Only a Christian conducts himself like that or behaves himself like that. Now the Christian examines himself, and he often fears that he will miss it all at last. But that fear stimulates his own self-examination and his diligence and his earnestness. And he mourns over his lacks and failings and his infirmities. And he is always seeking for an increase of the joys and the blessedness of these citizens. And he always longs to hear of it. Longs to hear more of it, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so will good news be from this far country. Now, if our citizenship is in heaven, then we are foreigners, we are sojourners, we are pilgrims on this earth. And our walk must show that. We love to read and think of heaven being prepared for us. But often we forget that we are being prepared for heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And so we must live as those who will one day soon, and it's not far away from any one of us, one day soon, who will possess it. And I believe that means one or two things. It means surely that we must walk by faith. Now, it was by faith that Abraham, in the land, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. For he looked for a city. He sojourned there as in a strange country. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, faith is at the bottom of it. We have to exercise faith because these things are unseen. It needs faith to desire heaven. All those that we read of in the wonderful chapter 11 of Hebrews, the chapter that brings before us all the heroes of faith, they all, we are told, died in faith. They died in faith. Jesus asked, "Believest thou this?" And he said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth on me, believeth in me, shall never die. Now, do we believe eternity is at the back of time? Are we persuaded of that? Sense itself tells us that here we have no continuing city. This place is not abiding. And even if it was, we certainly are not. Even if it was, we certainly are not. We see that at the expense of our fellow creatures every day. Jesus himself said, I go to prepare a place for you. And God does not have to flatter worms as we are. But he said also, if it were not so, I would have told you. I would have told you. In other words, God said this, and all he said has come to pass. He told Adam that Jesus would come, and he came at the appointed time. He told Noah of the flood, and he prepared for it, and it came. And God says that beyond the grave, there is a resting place for the people of God, even heaven, and that he will bring his people to that place, to that city. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. He says this, and will he not fulfill it? So we walk by faith. We also surely walk in hope. Can we look for a great benefit and not think or hope for it? Man is not made that way. If even in this life we were left a rich inheritance, would we not think of it and hope for it? Does a sailor not think of home when he is far away? I tell you this, he thinks of nothing else. Now we ought to feel here as poor, stranded sailors on a desert island, not far away from home, and living in a temporary place with a few comforts around him, but always searching on the horizon for the ship that will bring him home to his desired haven. If our citizenship is in heaven, can we not often think and hope for it? But more, not only is our thoughts there by faith and hope, but also the citizen, there's a walk of love. We look, but we long also. After all, if we have treasure laid up there, what does the Bible say? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now it is a strange thing. It's a strange thing that we love this world more than heaven. The Bible says, set your affections on things above, not here. More than that, I believe that there we shall be with those we love. Here in this world, we live with unbelievers, we live with the ungodly. The wheat is mixed up with the tares, but there only with the righteous. Now, although earth is not hell, neither is it heaven, and although people are not devils, even at their worst, neither are they all saints, but in heaven all is perfect. And one of the sweetest thoughts that I have anyway is that we shall meet again in heaven, and that we shall, those whom we have come to love, that we shall know each other in heaven better than we have ever known each other here. And there we shall love each other perfectly. And there we shall worship God perfectly. And there we shall rejoice perfectly. And there we shall sing perfectly. And there we shall praise him perfectly, the one who made all these things possible for us. But perhaps more than anything as well is this, that we shall be with Christ. Now here we have his presence with us. He has promised that. That is his promise. Lo, I am with you always. That is what he has promised. But there we shall be with him. And the apostle says to be with Christ is far better. And we should be willing, said the apostle, to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. The psalmist said, whom have I in the heavens high but thee, O Lord, alone? And on the earth there is none beside that I desire besides thee. When we awaken, said the psalmist, we shall be satisfied with thy likeness. Now we may feel today that we are, as far as we have got, we are still very far from heaven. But for the true believer, heaven is before him. The prize awaits him. And it is getting nearer for us every day. For all, each and every one of us, the race of life will soon be over as year follows year. And win or lose, it shall soon be over, because from the cradle to the grave is only a brief moment. The Bible often brings that before us, that it is as a tale that is told, or as a weaver shuttle, one moment there and then on the other side. That is life. But for the believer, when he puts his head on the pillow at night, he may waken in the morning with a crown upon it. They shall see Christ, and they shall be like Christ, and perhaps to me the most, we shall be with him, and perhaps for me anyway, the most wonderful thing of all, they shall be like Christ. Now in this world, the believer has constant conflict. There's a war. Outwardly, trials and tribulations. Inwardly, the spirit and the flesh against each other. And the believer often says, O wretched man that I am. But that is not all that he says. For he can say, I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. For he knows that in him he shall be more than conquerors. He shall be hyper conquerors, more than conquerors. And I suppose the only way in which can be put, as the hymn writer put it, when 10,000 years have passed in praising him, for all that he has done for us, for his great love to us, then we have no less days to sing his praise as if we had just begun. But I say again, it is no easy matter to live a consistent, constant Christian life and maintain a course of walking by faith and walking in hope and walking in love. These are not easy. And yet nothing less than this will prove we are Christians indeed. Nothing less. It is not our talk, not our profession, not our talk that we shall be judged by. Better walk. If you love me, keep my commandments. That is how we have to judge ourselves, lest we are deceiving ourselves and we ruin ourselves. Now, the apostle brings before us there of some who walked unworthily in the apostle's day, and it is the same to this day. And he told them with even weeping that they were the enemies of the cross of Christ. Some walk with the enemies of the cross of Christ. But let us study and so as to commend the gospel by our consistent walk, by our heavenly conversation, our citizenship, and by our conduct, that would reveal what we are to others. So a little. There is so much in these few words, in these so much verses, a little on our heavenly citizenship. To the Romans, they made a great boast of it. Like the centurion said, he was freeborn. But not even Paul was freeborn into heaven. He was bought with a price. The price of Christ's blood. So that we are fellow citizens with the saints. And that means Christ reigns in our hearts. And we have a right to all that is there. We are joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. But then there is this other aspect to it as well. Our heavenly conduct, our lifestyle. Does our speech betray us? Because there is a contradiction between both. Like light to darkness, a life to death. Is our faith, our conduct, our kaibehe, is that according to what we see? Do we walk by faith? Do we walk in hope? Do we look for this inheritance? Is our treasure above? Do we love it more than we love this world? And there we shall be with those who do love the Lord. And there we shall be with the Lord himself. And I say again, it is marvelous to think we shall be with him. But greater to me anyway, that we shall be like him. And to that end, may the Lord bless to us these few thoughts this morning. Let us pray.